Okay, so this morning I'm going to do a bit of a double act with Janet. So I'm going to share a couple of things, and then Janet's going to speak to us, going to impart something to us and for us. Then I'm going to introduce something else, and then we're going to pray at the end. So there you go, that's the plan. That's where we're heading, that's what we're about. And those of you who are here last Sunday morning, we looked at this picture which we believe that God had given us as Ashwood Church. And I'm just going to mention it now that just as a reminder, but also for those of you who weren't with us last Sunday, we felt at the start of the year, actually in between Christmas and New Year, Claire and I were praying, and Claire had this picture of Ashwood Church being like a train. And we put this up last week, and I knew I'd get some people who are buzzing with trains, and people came and told me all the information that they have about trains and what this train is, and you know, the people who'd been on it or driven it or all that kind of stuff, which was fantastic. I guess that's what happens. We spark something in our imagination. But Claire had this this picture that Ashwood Church was a train that was on the move. And there was many people on board the train, excited to be moving. Some were still apprehensive, some were still undecided. And particularly this phrase, all aboard. You know, with trains, you're either on or you're not. There's nothing really, there's not kind of a in-between stage, is there? Either you're all aboard or you're not. And as the train gained momentum, this is what Claire felt, went through different stations. And in this picture, more people were getting on board, more carriages being added to accommodate more people. And it was getting longer. There's people welcomed on board. It was becoming a busy, thriving, great place to be. And Claire said in the picture, the train never reached a destination, but it was just this sense that it was full steam ahead through the countryside. And at the start of 2018, we just felt that God was asking us, each one of us, say, where are we at? Are we all aboard? Are we all aboard with all kinds of different things, all aboard, particularly with our mission of helping people find and follow Jesus? And so what we wanted to do in 2018 was we wanted to look at the ways we can respond to that. What does it mean to us individually, those of us who are part, we would consider ourselves connected to Ashwood Church. Some of you may be in the room and you're thinking, well, what does this look like for me? I'm new to all this stuff. Well, great, let's have a conversation. Let's talk to someone and find out a bit more. But one of the things in particular was the sense that are we all aboard in prayer? And we'd thought about it as we made some plans at the end of last year towards 2018. And we felt actually that it was a great place for us to start as church to be praying together. A lot of people do this and it's a good thing to be doing anyway. But we felt that actually we would start the year. We're going to do something tomorrow for the next 2 weeks. There's more information that's available. But we wanted to start by praying together as church. And Janet was, as she was praying during December, there were some thoughts that she had that were coming together to do this whole thing of stir up. That was the phrase. And she got some great stuff that God was stirring in her that we felt actually was ready to stir in all of us. So with this sense that we want to be all aboard in prayer, I'm going to ask Janet to just come and share some of these, her thoughts with us, which I think you'll find will inspire you, will encourage you, and will lead us and launch us into praying over the next couple of weeks. So Janet.
Okay. Yeah. One of the things I find myself often doing on a Saturday night after we've gone to bed, and just as I'm dropping off to sleep, I pray for church. And I imagine myself standing here looking out over you and praying, partly just to bless the morning, partly to ask God if he's got anything to say, but just it's one of those moments where I do pray for church. And sometimes I go straight to sleep, sometimes I pray for a while, sometimes I pray for a bit, but pray again in the morning or pray in the middle of the night, whatever. It's just how I am. Just one of the things I do. But on this particular night, just before Christmas, a bit before Christmas, as soon as I was just started that prayer for Ashwood Church, the word stir up came in my head. And I knew where they'd come from because two or three weeks before, the week before Advent Sunday is Stir Up Sunday in the Anglican Church. And it's because of a collect they read on that Sunday. And it says this: stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's a bit of a mouthful with that language, I know. But this thought of stir up, we ask you, O Lord, the wills of your people, has always struck me as being a really good prayer, and I often pray it around that time. And I'd been thinking about that those few weeks before, and then we went to Touching Heaven a bit late, 10 days later or something, and Simon, unbeknown to me, had been reading Haggai, and he read some words that just resonated with me that also came back to that morning. So it's Haggai 1 and verse 14. It said, Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, is it? Governor of Judah, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of Jehovah, of hosts their God. And we spent a lot of that evening in Touching Heaven praying about this stirring up and being stirred up. And I particularly did get a little stirred, as some people might tell you if you ask them. But that's not what I'm talking about. But those two came in the context of this evening, this time when I was praying. And I really felt it was really strong that stir up was a word for us as church. And by the morning, I was saying to Matt, I wonder if it's a word for the year. Because I felt like God wanted to stir us in our spirits, because that's what he says in that Haggai. It wasn't just stir up and be stirred or get yourself stirred. It was Jehovah, the Lord, stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel. He stirred the spirit of all the remnant of the people. It was something that was God was doing, not us. And he wanted us to be stirred in our spirits, to deepen our relationship with him, to be stirred to share our faith more, stirred to step out more in obedience and faith, and I guess there's lots of other things. And I know often you come here or you go to your life group and we stir you, people at the front here stir you, but I felt this was more than that. It was something about being stirred by the Holy Spirit, which I think feels different at times. And I just want all of us, every one of us, to be welcome that stirring, rather than just going, oh yeah, it's happening, I'm sitting on the back row, I'll leave it for those who are passionate, committed, better off than me. I don't know what excuse you put in front of you. I have a few that I log in front sometimes when I'm wanting to opt out. But I felt God was saying, please don't put an opt-out clause in this. This is for everyone to step into. And I felt that those two things came together for me suddenly, because there was this, the Lord stirred up the spirit of his people. But then we were praying in the collect about stir up the wills of your people. And I felt it was really important for us to realise that God's doing something, but actually we have a part as well. So he wants to stir up our wills, but we have a part in actually setting our will to go with what God's doing. And that's really what I wanted to say this morning, that we have, each of us have a responsibility to go, yes, God, I want to be stirred. And when you are stirred, to do something about that stirring. I feel like, I was reminded as well that in the middle of all this, of Ephesians 2, I don't normally have this many scriptures all in one night. Please don't think my Saturday nights are like this every week. But I was reminded of Ephesians 2 verse 10, where it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago. And I think that links in with this, because I think God is stirring us so we can go and do the good things that he's planned. He created us in order to do those things. Now, those things don't enable us to get into heaven, but because we are his children, we can then go and do the good things he's planned for us. And actually, part of that stirring is allowing God to remind us what we're good at, what we can do, the people we connect with, all those things. And so actually we can go and then do them and have the confidence to do them. So I feel like we need to take hold of the truth of these words. I think there's an element of that together, which we'll do over the season of prayer. But I think there's a lot of this is an individual taking hold of. And I think this most, I feel like it starts in our prayer life. I feel like, and this is why it really links in, because I wasn't thinking about season of prayer at the time, but it does link in nicely. I think it's a real importance that each one of us spends time with God in whatever way, at whatever time of day, however long. I'm not looking at those things. It's about us getting intimate with God, about being ready to talk to God about the things that we care about, ready to listen to God when he speaks to us, ready to push in close, but also ready to do what he's asking us to do. Because I think lots of times, if you're like me, you hear things and then you put it aside because you get on with the business of the day and you forget about it. And then he reminds me again and I go, oh yeah, you told me about that yesterday or last week. And then about the third time, I'm possibly going, okay, I need to do something about this. But I think there's a quickening on us to do it quicker, to respond quicker and to believe quicker that it could be God. And I have a sense too that God has given us, I know God has given us authority in the name of Jesus to speak to health issues, to speak into the world around us, to speak over ourselves. But I've had a sense that quite a few of us probably aren't using it to a fullness, and I put my hand up with that. We're holding back. And I believe this is a year where he wants to stir us to hold back less, to press in more. I'm not saying that the end of the year will be in the right place and doing it all brilliantly. I'm feeling like this is a year for moving forward. And so I want to really invite you to allow God to stir us. And actually, I already know he's stirring us. This is a month on. I've been praying for a month and I've seen stirrings. And perhaps later on, if you've got time, I'll share one or two of those. But I see it. I see it all over the place. Even this morning as we were praying for Rita, that sense of praying was more than it's been ever before when we've prayed for Rita together. Do you know what I mean? And there's a real sense for me that the stirring has already happened. But so be open to his stirring, to be ready to be part of that stirring, to set our wills in agreement with God's plans and heart, and be ready to stepping out in obedience, stepping out beyond where we've been before. And I want to say again, it's not for a few. If you're sitting there even now thinking, it's not for me, I'm not part of that, can I just encourage you to say, come on, I'm part of this. If you're part of Ashwood Church, if you love Jesus, you're part of it. And okay, you might never stand up here and do what I'm doing. You might not do, you know, what somebody else does, but actually you've got to do what God's called you to do. That's the important thing. When I went back to this Haggai verse in the week, I realized that the verse before this bit about stirring our spirits. The verse before says, and Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. And I was struck again by this Emmanuel, God with us. We talked about it running up to Christmas. We often talk about it about God's with you. But I wonder whether we've really taken hold of that. And that was a really key message that Haggai said, because he said it, I am with you, says the Lord. And then the Lord stirred the spirits. And in my NLT, it says, the Lord sparked the enthusiasm. I think that's brilliant. So that's also my prayer, is that God sparks your enthusiasm. And if you don't feel like you're very gifted or you're very skilled in lots of things, we could all go for enthusiasm, can't we? I can see somebody over there who is. We can't we? So be stirred. And as I shared this with a few folks before Christmas, Lucy came back and said, give everybody a spoon. So later on, we're going to give you all a spoon to remind you that you need to be ready to be stirred up. And so we ask you to put this somewhere that reminds you that God is stirring us. That perhaps you need to lay hands on it every day and go, stir me, oh God. Stir me.
So you'll understand that we always want to be obedient to responding to the things that God is saying with us, which is saying to us and through us. And so hopefully you catch something of Janet's heart for what we believe is a response to what God is saying to us. So you've got a spoon. I know some people think in this kind of way, you've got a spoon that you can put in your briefcase or put in your handbag or put in your backpack for school, if that's what you do. You can put it under your pillow or whatever. Just put it somewhere that hopefully will remind you as we enter this 2 weeks, inviting God to stir us up and to be stirred up by him. In terms of practically our plans, just let me share some of that with you. So What we're going to do this time, for these next 14 days, if you're connected with us on our database, then you'll receive an email. Trying something a little bit different, we're going to send an email to you every day, which will have a reminder of some of the things that we are praying for. It'll also have a thought for the day. We invited our discipleship and care team and leaders to write something as a thought for the day. So you're going to get different people's thoughts on different days. They're brilliant. You'll enjoy reading them. Great. And what we're going to do on each day is we're going to do four things. We're going to start with thanks. We're going to start with gratitude. We're going to make a declaration. So we're going to use some of the words actually out of Ephesians 1. So it connects very much with the Transformed Life series. But we're using some of these words to declare over ourselves. Use it in the first person to say, this is what I'm praying for me today. Along the lines of a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. So we're going to make some declarations. And then the fourth thing we're going to do is pray for a specific part. So that there's a sense that we're doing some things all together as well as the things that we're doing individually. So I'd encourage you to get hold of these emails. I think most people are connected to us like that. So you get something new every day. If you're not, but you'd like to be, then have a word with Janet at the end and we can connect you into that. We feel that the important part of this is really, as Janet says, is for each of us individually engaging in prayer with God. So we haven't put loads of extra meetings on, all that kind of thing. It's really about individually, how can we do that? We just thought we would do three things where we create some opportunities for us to pray together. For those people who would like to do that, so on the two Wednesday mornings, we're going to meet here earlier in the morning, because sometimes that's a better time for some people. 7 to 8 in the morning. If that works for you, then meet with us here. We'll start the day in prayer. We'll invite God to stir us up. And of course, as well as us responding individually, we'll do something corporately together. And then next Sunday morning, Zoe and a team are going to facilitate straight after our meeting. So the idea is that we can include families in this as well. We're going to invite you to, if you would like to, bring a picnic here in the Ashwood Centre for the hour following our meeting, 12:30, I think we said. We'll pray together, include the families, include kids. But that's really welcome for anyone who would like to join in with that. And we'll use some of these images of stirring ourselves up and being stirred up by that. So I think that's everything we need to say on the logistics side of things. Does that make sense? Are you ready? Are you all aboard? Yeah? Okay, good. Fantastic. And of course, we're praying that God would do amazing things with us and through us. And we'll, as Janet mentioned, we're going to finish our meeting this morning in prayer. So we'll kind of launch ourselves and going to ask Janet. She's got a few specific things that she'll share with some people. So the other thing I wanted to do this morning, and it fits, you'll see it fits incredibly well with this whole sense and many of the things that Janet's already spoken about. I want to introduce something which I guess will flow with us, not just through the stir-up season, but actually will be flowing with us throughout the year. You could say it's a theme, it's something that we'll unpack, it's something that we'll look at together. And I kind of alluded to it last week. I was speaking about the Christmas story and Mary's response, the mother of Jesus, her faith response in the Christmas story. And we read together from Luke chapter 1. And this was kind of where we finished last Sunday morning. These were some of Mary's words. She said this: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." And then later she says, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And in this song of praise called the Magnificat, Mary speaks or sings of this realization that she has, that what is about to happen, that the Son of God literally is growing inside of her. She recognizes what's going to happen. And she says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." It's a big deal. It's a realization that she has that everything that was prophesied, all the promises in the Old Testament are about to come to fruition, and people will recognize Mary's part in this, and that all generations will recognize that Mary says that I am blessed because of what God has done. And she realizes, she has this revelation, if you like, that she is blessed and all generations will call her blessed, but actually she's the conduit, if you like, for the blessing to come to all mankind. She's blessed, but the result is a blessing. And this theme of blessing is an incredibly important one throughout the whole of the Bible. And it's mentioned even, you don't have to go very far, in the first chapter, there's mention of this sense of blessing. And it's interesting to look at the part of the God story in the Bible that Mary is referring to here. That's why I left it in. When Mary refers to Abraham and the promises to their ancestors, because very early in the God story and the God picture in Genesis chapter 12, we find this Abraham that Mary's talking about, and straight away we see these words. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" And then this is God speaking to Abraham. I think it's on the next slide, Benji. He says this, it says, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Kind of a big deal, kind of a huge promise. God speaking to Abraham, making this declaration that will actually be fulfilled, as Mary recognizes, through Jesus ultimately. But what is God saying through this amazing, incredible statement that he makes as he speaks to Abraham? Well, basically, God chooses one individual and blesses him. And then you can see there's a thread, one nation and blesses them. But God's plan was always that the blessing would be passed on. He says, "I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." First Israel, the people of God. Then through Jesus, not limited to just Israel like in the Old Testament, but God's plan that no one would perish means that not just Israel, but then the Gentiles, that's you and me, can be blessed. Nicky Gumbel says this. He says, "The church, that's you and me, is blessed like Abraham and Israel, not for its own sake, but in order to bring blessing to the whole world. If you've been blessed by God, it is not for your own selfish indulgence or self-congratulation. It's in order that you can be a blessing to others." Abraham was blessed so he could be a blessing. There's many more references about being blessed and blessing, and we'll look at some of those in the coming weeks and across 2018. But just let me just give you one more from Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. When Jesus is sending out the 12 apostles on a missions trip, effectively, and these are his instructions. This is what he says to them, his 12 disciples. He says, "As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons." And then he says this, "Freely you have received, freely give." Or in other words, you've been blessed and blessed richly. Now go and be a blessing. If you want to have a paraphrase or a summary, then effectively that is what he's saying. And he recognizes that there's this correlation between what has been received and what has been given. What we've received as a blessing, we can give as a blessing. And we're going to think about how this applies to us, this concept, as we look ahead into 2018. And if you've been around for any time, hopefully you've picked up that our mission, our declaration as church, what we're all about is helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what we want to do. That's what we said is our intention. It's our desire. It's the heart of who we are, that we want to help other people find and follow Jesus. If you're part of Ashwood Church, we want to help one another. We want to strengthen one another, grow together, following Jesus. But we also want to do that outside of ourselves as well. And basically, what we want to say in 2018 is recognize the fact that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing. And we've got something else that we're going to give you this morning. We've got teaspoons. We've also got just this little phrase that you can take home with you. They're magnetic, so you can put them somewhere that is magnetic in your house. That basically we can make this declaration together that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing. And of course, there's all kinds of spiritual application for this, and you start to think about what that means, what it looks like. It's probably something that you've thought about many times before, but we want to use it to help us in our mission to help others find and follow Jesus. And of course, as well as the spiritual connotation and application, there's all kinds of practical things that you can see. And living as I do with my wife, there's all kinds of practical applications which come about with just this sense of blessed to be a blessing. I came home on Friday evening and the washing machine was full of the toddler group seesaw that meets here. Those of you who come to the toddler group, I know that some people in this room, there's a lot of dressing up that goes on. Did you know that? Lots of dressing up. So there's dressing up clothes, all kinds of things. You can be Spider-Man, you can be a princess, you can be a builder, you can be a mechanic. All of those things in a range of sizes, but mainly sort of this size. When I came home on Friday evening, our dining room, if you like, which is otherwise known as the laundry, converts, was full and covered with these different items of clothing. There was another set in the washing machine, and then there was another big bag on the floor for washing load number, whatever, 3 or 4. And it occurred to me that this comes out of a heart, because we are blessed. We've got a washing machine, and we can be there for a blessing. And I guess there's all kinds of applications. Maybe that's a trivial one, but you'll recognize that there's many areas that we are blessed and we can be a blessing. Think about our Christmas offering. How blessed are we in terms of financial blessing that we have? And there are many different levels of what that looks like. But relatively speaking, in terms of the world population, we have to agree, don't we, that we are incredibly blessed financially. And what a wonderful thing that we have the opportunity to be a blessing. And I loved hearing Sam's story. And isn't it good to know that when we give our money, it's not just going into some pot somewhere and we'll never hear or see of it again, but Sam is going to actually be able to give us some feedback on what takes place, and it's being used strategically and carefully to be a blessing to over 400 kids in that instant, and other people in Beirut too. And the great thing is, and I guess you can see it when you start thinking about this blessed to be a blessing, the place to start is with gratitude. You know, it's very difficult, if you recognize that you are blessed, to not respond with gratitude, is it? You know, I've realized that it's almost impossible to be grateful and grumpy at the same time. Maybe it's your homework, the challenge for the week. But don't you think that actually, if you recognize that you're blessed, then it's very, very difficult to not respond with gratitude. And if that's the case, then it just sets you off brilliantly for responding with gratitude. You know, I'm aware that sometimes people say, well, I'm not a morning person. Well, that's fair enough. There's people who say, you know, well, I'm just grumpy in the mornings. Well, I understand that. I can probably identify with some of those feelings completely. But actually, not dependent on our circumstances, I think you find that if you choose gratitude, it's very difficult then, therefore, afterwards to be grumpy. You can't; those two things don't exist in the same space. So what's your grr? Is it gratitude? I just encourage us to respond with gratitude. So, we're blessed to be a blessing. And over these next, this fortnight, and of course, we, as we always say, we're not going to stop praying on January the 29th, but we'll hopefully, we'll start our year well. We'll start with a reflection as we invite God to come and stir us, and for us also to be stirred so that we can be, we can recognize that we are blessed to be a blessing. So let's be all aboard. Let's stir ourselves up.